You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Some pretty little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine, with my Kansas City baby, and boy, she's really fine. Well, I might take a plane, I may take a train. If I have to walk, I'm going just the same. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one.
Well, greetings, listeners. It's the 29th day of October, 2017. This is Incendiary Radio coming at you one more time on a Sunday night. I will be here the next 3 hours. And after that, I got a few hours sleep, and I've got to get up again. Early work day in the morning, and so this is quite going to be quite interesting for me. Played that Fats Domino there. It's for the hell of it. I went to Kansas City in the last few days, drove up there and saw a band and, you know, had an interesting time. You know, it was weird. I was researching today. Hey, Ken, get clip 13 ready. I was researching and digging around today and looking around, and I got a bunch of clips and a bunch of articles pulled up, a bunch of JFK stuff, but I know that the RBN audience has real JFK fatigue, but I'm going to run through just some key points and try to just touch on a few things and not get caught up in the minutiae. You know, there's some real minutiae researchers out here that, you know, I listened to part of Deanna's show and yesterday, and she had the author of Lee and Me on for a couple of hours, and some of the articles I got pulled up from Millennium Report actually dovetail with this, the author, and so it was interesting to listen to that. And, you know what I'm feeling, and I know you guys are feeling this too, is the absolute being pulled in 1,000 directions and the complete minutiae overload that makes you just really it puts you in that place that you don't like to be with these big events. We're in this with Vegas now. People are getting pulled in 1,000 directions. And I have a couple things about Vegas. And I've got Rensa's site. You know, he's still got this massive collage, this aggregation of articles and information. Rents is kind of stuck on it. And, you know, I interviewed Fetzer, Dr. Jim Fetzer, and then they had this falling out over complete hoax versus murder, mass murder, and the rest of it. And the video that I'm going to play, It kind of covers both of these angles, and you know, I don't like to see people arguing over what I consider the minutiae. Now, human beings are not minutiae, but when you look at these big, massive operations in totality, like I always say, I beat this dead horse, but this Corey Feldman stuff, segueing into this, quite interesting developments with Mr. Feldman and Joe Rogan and Craig Sawyer. This, what should I say, onslaught of people that considered themselves, I guess, entertainment untouchables now just being thrown under the bus. It's almost like this complete just anybody that's ever had an axe to grind against somebody, they're jumping into this kind of cesspit of accusations on the sexual level and so forth. And so the complete overload here as well. Daddy Bush, okay, this evil SOB Daddy Bush in his 90s now and in a wheelchair with his little neck brace on, Christopher Reeves-esque neck brace, that he's wearing around now. He's probably not too long for his life on the earth. He's probably going to have to go meet his reward, like David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski have recently. So Daddy Bush will be another one that splits hell wide open, most likely. I don't want to pass judgment on another human like that because I've got enough worries about my own soul postpartum, post-departing the world and everything else. But these creeps, these guys that have, all the things that these guys have been into. Well, Daddy Bush, he's now he's a groper as well. And he's into this David Copperfield joke, supposedly, where he grabs some young lady's rear end on a photo ops and makes some crude joke about David Copperfield rather than David Copperfield, David Copperfield, et cetera, I see this floating around. And Barbara Bush, possibly Crowley's daughter, Aleister Crowley's daughter, Barbara Pierce Bush and the mother, Miss Pierce, running around in these OTO type dark society circles right at the time she was impregnated with Barbara. And so there's all those things. In Search of the Great B666, the Crowley biography touches on that towards the end. And this has been floating around forever. And so, just like Angela Merkel being Hitler's frozen embryo or, type daughter that you see floating around, a lot of people debunked that one, her being a Stasi communist and so forth. And I'm going to play the beginning of Alex Jones' show today where all these people are digging through this JFK dump and there's people all over the map just with this dump alone. Poo-pooing it, saying it's worthless, and then other people, let's just say, are digging through the National Archives and this JFK dump. It's too early to tell for me. I'm just going on the hearsay of others. I don't have the time presently to dig into these archives myself, but I got some interesting stuff that just was leading up to this in the last few days about Daddy Bush, especially, and his little Zapata oil stuff. And, Roger Stone mentioned this last week about a certain George Bush being mentioned in a J. Edgar Hoover memo. We all know about this and so forth. But then there's some other stuff that I wasn't aware of. I am not really a JFK specialist, okay? I'm sort of the big macro vision. I know the competing theories, okay? Military-industrial complex, the mafia / Cuban dissidents, the Jesuits, hence Eric John Phelps, Vatican assassins, wounded in the house of my friends, talking about the Roman hierarchy angle. And then, of course, the Michael Collins Piper final judgment angle. Just some very interesting, stuff out there on that whole side of the house. So I'm going to try to dig into some of that tonight. I will try to open the phone lines in a little bit too, to where people can weigh in on what they know and what, as far as this dump that we've seen and so forth and so on. And so, it's fascinating, but, since I was in Kansas City, I wanted to play this, and this is Kenneth Copeland. Now, this has nothing to do with the JFK stuff, but since I played coming in the Kansas City thing, I want to get into the aspect of the Protestant Reformation and what just happened in the last few days in Kansas City that I was totally unaware of, oblivious. But let's do clip 13. This is Kenneth Copeland.
Please put this date on your calendar. This year, October the 24th through the 26th in Kansas City. Hallelujah. The most important event that has to do with the outpouring and this mighty thing that has been loosed in the kingdom of God in the earth. The most important thing that has happened in the body of Christ happened some years ago. The biggest church split in history. Amen. When the Catholic Church split, you know the story. The beginning of the protesting church. Now you really stop thinking about it. Among the people of love, we're called protesters. We've been protesting for 500 years, baby. Yeah, that's been 500 years ago. Now, that's a church split, brother. I mean, that's the church split of all church splits. Really? Now, October the 31st, 1999, representatives of the Catholic and the Lutheran churches gathered in Augsburg, Germany, and signed a joint declaration on the subject of justification. And so 500 years of arguments, misunderstandings, and sometimes wars began to give way to reconciliation and recognition of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as placed within the body of Christ. It ended October 24, 25, 26. Be there. Now you can smile. Amen. I remember how important that meeting was.
that we were talking about earlier. And that there were, I'm telling you, there were people there from all over the world, and it's going to be that way this time. The difference is in the statement that I just read earlier. That church demon has fallen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you and we worship you with all of our hearts. Glory to God. I'll tell you, it is so exciting to me to see and to know things that for, oh my goodness, so many, so long ago that people thought was just no way. No way. No way. They read the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians and say, till we all come together in the unity of our faith. No way. But you see, once that main separating spirit of division was pulled down, it released the Lord Jesus.
All right, go ahead and stop it there, Ken. Now I want to explain. This was Kairos 2017, okay? So the world will know him, okay? And it's basically charismatics and Catholics, and, you know, Kenneth Copeland and these Word of Faith guys, they're all like Pentecostal-type charismatics, okay? And so this Kairos 2017, K-A-I-R-O-S, just happened, and I was happened to be in Kansas City on the last day of it happening. And so let's just say this. There's things happening behind the scenes in these various kind of church denominations and so forth. This kind of drive here, you know, basically there's a lot of times you'll see the Catholic hierarchy behind it pulling, you know, it's one time it's the Orthodox, sometimes it's the Lutherans, and then this time it's more like your charismatic Protestants. And so there was this big event, Kairos 2017, happening, and some of the kind of like the researchers that I dig around in, I hit on it. I was like, wow, I was there. And what's weird, what made me want to play part of this is I saw these guys at the hotel wearing their, you know, people wear these things around their neck, and these guys were from Loyola University. Of course, that's the founder of the Jesuits, Inigo Ignacio de Loyola. And so just fascinating that I stumbled upon this, kind of not even knowing there's this whole big kind of charismatic Catholic thing going on there. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. Now, here's what is what's crazy. I never watch TV, but if I'm in a hotel, of course, if you're in a hotel room and you got some time to kill, you're screwing around getting ready before you go out or whatever, of course you're going to turn the tube on. And I happened to be digging around, and I wanted to turn on MSNBC, we know, which is the full-blown Marxist, I mean, propaganda arm, basically the most hardcore left thing on cable TV. Chris Matthews, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Mika and Joe, all these people basically spouting hardcore, basically communism. And I seen this ad by this billionaire, Tom Steyer, S-T-E-Y-E-R. Now, he's been all over the various websites. Trump trolled him in tweets. It's called needtoimpeach.com. I mean, and it's just, it's the hypocrisy is, it's laughable to all of us, but it's also just so alarming that Americans are in these echo chambers, and we all wonder, how does this Marxism, how is this communism just taking root in these people? And I exposed myself to MSNBC for a while, and I really try to stay away from the television. But I really saw this just this upside down reality for a little while, and it was just insane. But this Tom Steyer spending, I guess, millions of dollars for basically pushing the impeachment of the president, NeedToImpeach.com, and he's sitting there basically, you know, I mean, we've had all these years, 8 years of Obama, 8 years of W, 8 years of Clinton, and then 4 years of Daddy Bush, and then even all the some of the skullduggery with Reagan. But ever since the JFK hit, I mean, and he was like a blip on the radar screen. Even before that, we had the FDR stuff, and I mean, just the total just destruction of any kind of traditional or framework of how the country was going to be governed. But I mean, you know, Trump, it's still a real mixed bag for me, because there's things that the guy's doing to try to keep people like us at least intrigued enough to tentatively say, I'm not happy, but I'm like with this JFK dump, you know, things of this nature. You know, he's giving us the crumbs enough to keep some of us, you know, at least in the ballpark. You know, versus to completely turn on them and then jump into the impeachment realm with this Mueller stuff. And I got a bunch on that. Of course, everybody does. I feel like so screwy right now. And I know many of you do as well with what we're facing. We've got this November 4th thing coming up. We've got this big military drill that's going to start the same day that the Antifa garbage is supposed to happen. And I've got a clip to play on that. But this thing, where we're at right now, and we'll see what happens with this Mueller thing come tomorrow morning, and this Manafort indictment, and probably one of the other guys that was one of his deputies in the campaign is what it looks like. But it's very crazy right now, and it's like I want at least some normalcy, because it's like right now you just feel for the old and the young right now, because they're in this pincher with us. And, you know, those of us that are in middle age, 20s, 30s, 40s, It's not as bad as it is like somebody that's old that depends on what's left of the system for their sustenance, and then the young who are dependent on us. This is who I really feel for because of what we're coming up on here. It's some sort of big ugly situation, and I, you know, all of us kind of feel it. So. Let's see here. Let's see. Ken, get clip 15 queued up. This was Jones today on his show. And he's going to go into the Manafort thing and the indictment for a second. And then he's going to go into what they found on this JFK data dump thus far. Okay. So let's go ahead and hit clip 15.
Directly from the sources, urgent. Paul Manafort and his campaign deputy will, in all capitals, be indicted tomorrow morning with a third unidentified person. And I'll stop right there. The identified deputy is Rick Gates, a deputy of Paul Manafort. They do not know the charge, and the source does not know the charge. I'm going to stop right there. That's just one of my sources. Just like we told you that Trump was going to release the JFK files 9 days ago. They came out the same day and said Jones is insane. We've been told by Pompeo that the CIA, they will not be released. And then they tried that double cross on Friday, not releasing 200 files. Trump said, you will release it. And last night they did. And that moves us to the rest of the story, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Ken, stop it there. Stop it there and forward to 8:49. So Trump tweets out all the files have been dumped sooner than blah, blah, blah. And look, you know, there was a deadline coming up. I reported on that in the last couple weeks. And so this has happened. Now, a lot of people, like I said, are poo-pooing it. It's calling it pablum and so this sort of stuff. But let's listen to what Jones says it basically contains. Go ahead and hit it at 8:49.
So what is in the JFK files? I got to be honest with you. I said on air a week and a half ago or 9 days ago with Roger that I thought they'd black it all out, or I thought that they would hold back a lot of it. But Trump came through again in ways I can't believe. And it is the Surgeon General office. It is the FBI, the CIA, in their own official documents saying Kennedy was shot from the overpass in the throat and from the grassy knoll on the side of the head, and that LBJ was a KKK member and that Kennedy was preparing to bring that out, and that they were going to stage terror attacks in America to declare martial law, and that Hitler was still alive in Argentina. And with photos of me, I mean, wow, this is something else. Probably should have started the broadcast with that today. But, I mean, I need to spend time with my family some. But I've been spending hours a day just clicking on the files, reading it, and then seeing what my crews come up with, what you, the viewers and listeners, have done. They put another 200 files out last night. And we've scanned over most of them. But, listeners, it's in the National Archives. We've got it linked on InfoWars.com. We should probably top link it and just say, human intelligence, we need the people power. We the people power to go through these because, ladies and gentlemen, I've been up here broadcasting for hours today before we even did the regular syndicated radio / TV program.
All right, you could stop it there. So, Hitler in Argentina comes up. Okay, the Harry Cooper shark hunters angle, of course, Rance has been covering this one forever, that Hitler actually escaped to Argentina. Very interesting that that would be part of the dump, okay? Is that a psyop? We're looking at these documents that are supposedly 53 years and some change old. And you look at the angles, you look at, okay, and another angle said the Surgeon General's report. Now, Zero Hedge and all these guys said this could be the most smoking gun so far. On the assassination stated, the first bullet entered the president's throat below the Adam's apple, clearly showing that two persons were involved with the first shot being fired from the bridge across the parkway in front of the car. To further substantiate this, Potito said there was a bullet hole in the windshield of the president's car. All right. So this has been dumped on Zero Hedge. It's up on InfoWars now. Indicating multiple shooters. So we'll see you guys after the bottom of the hour break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't await the wrath and hate. Don't fall behind. it up and tag out. There's no chance for this deal from this to God, the Lord says to me. You better swallow your pride and accept your fate. The first soul of pain keeps you confined in his domain. Don't ever trust that snake's advice.
Okay, we're back to Theory Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Let me plug Hooli's blog, W-H-O-O-L-I-S blog.blogspot.com. He posts a show there every morning afterwards. And then Sean down in Australia, TCTA Unleashed, WTFR, 107.9 in Australia. He does the same thing. He'll have the show up later on tonight. So, excuse me. You know, I was listening to this leftist crap in Kansas City, and then Chris Matthews is talking about the founder's vision, and it just made me laugh. You know, the only time the left talks about the founder's vision in the far left, the Marxists, is when they're not in power. Have you noticed that? The only time they care about the rule of law, the only time they care about separation of powers, any of that crap, is when they're not in charge. And when they are in charge, hey, that stuff's all outdated. That stuff's garbage. I got a pen and a phone. I'm hanging out with Bill Ayers, man. We're ready to throw people in camps. But when they when they perceive they're not in power, these people down the ladder or where they're at, they cry about impeachable offenses and all the rest of this. I mean, it's just the psychological games these people play. That, and I know this is part of the communist tactics. Alinsky and Lenin. I mean, they have no shame. They cannot. They don't blush. Nothing embarrasses them. Sit there and lie right to your face, because it's just part of being a communist. It's basically an evil ideology, and so therefore there are no rules. There's nothing that keeps you in check, behavior wise. And so this is why we have to sit here and witness the duplicity, the hypocrisy, the disingenuous behavior. And believe me, you know, the Mitch McConnells and Paul Ryans and John Boehners and Jeff Flakes and John McCain's, they're all just as bad. They're even worse in a way, because they actually talk, kind of a certain kind of game to where then they govern like crooks. But the left, they're more honest about their ideology, but when they're not in power, they whine about the founding fathers and separation of powers and all the rest of that stuff. So, I mean, I was just sitting there just like, you know, they just give lip service, okay? Now, another thing that I'm seeing out here, and, and I guess you got to just watch them trying to cover the blatant criminality of the Uranium One stuff, the Clinton Foundation stuff, the Haiti, the dealing arms to all the worst elements on the planet, you know, pay for play, all that stuff. They're talking about Cambridge Analytica, okay? It's this kind of a research gang that Trump and so forth, some of these people used, okay? Now, Ken, get clip two ready. This is a short one-minute clip about Cambridge Analytica, but Bannon allegedly was the vice president over here, and so you see, and this has to do with Julian Assange and trying to locate these deleted emails of the Clintons, you know, Hillary, all her, the magic number 33,000 emails. You know, they throw that number out at you to, as a subliminal, as a little, you know, a little taunt. Let's do clip two.
Key members of President Donald Trump's campaign team scrambled Wednesday to distance themselves from the data mining and analysis company Cambridge Analytica, whose CEO reportedly reached out to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange during the presidential campaign to offer help in finding Hillary Clinton's missing emails. The Trump campaign hired Cambridge Analytica in June 2016 to help target ads using voter data collected from approximately 230 million U.S. adults. The campaign paid Cambridge Analytica more than $5 million in September alone, up from $250,000 in August. But Michael S. Glasner, the executive director of Trump's campaign, said in a statement that the only source of voter data that played a key role in Trump's election victory was the Republican National Committee.
All right, you can stop it there. So, I mean, I seen this. So as a kind of a way to distract, to misdirect and so forth and so on, they've got their own kind of talking points out here. And I think, look, the timing of the Mueller indictment that's about to come down, I think this is a twofold deal. I think this was to distract from this meltdown that happened this week with the Uranium One stuff, and just this, I mean, it was just like a, and look, we all covered this back during Malheur, and I got a good clip to play about this in a little while, but we were looking at Rosatom Uranium One stuff right when the Malheur thing and the Hammond family got ejected from their ranch and all that stuff way back then with that wildlife refuge and Ammon Bundy and that whole deal. But it's, you know, it's interesting to see how this happens. And, you know, I don't pay enough attention to the far left media, because it just it's so repulsive and it's so shallow. But I mean, I guess I should, just to see where the narrative is. I get exposed to it through kind of like secondary research, but I just don't sit there and watch it. I can't. I don't have the time. I was just happened to be at a hotel, and so I saw some of this. Just crazy. So Cambridge Analytica, and this stuff broke months ago, but now they're using this again as an Assange, Bannon kind of connection and so forth. They already tried to connect Roger Stone to Assange and that whole thing. And, you know, Hillary saying WikiLeaks is Russian. Then the people over at Veterans Today, like Gordon Duff and so forth, say that WikiLeaks is a basically an Israeli kind of front. And so there's, depending on your political inclinations, I guess is where you think WikiLeaks lies on the spectrum of who's the shadowy state behind them. I got a couple callers that are on the line, 1-800-313-9443. All I ask is just try to be brief, get your points in, and because I got a lot to get to. So let's take David in California. Greetings, David. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Robert. I think this is the first time I've heard your show. I check in on RBN quite a bit, and first time I've heard your show. You know, I two things. I was interested in Daddy Bush and the JFK business.
Yeah, yeah.
But before I started, I heard you talking about NBC and CBS and whatnot being ultra-liberals and virtually communist and all that.
No, MSNBC. MSNBC, the cable network.
Well, they're still tied. I mean, they're...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, MSNBC's over the top with it. I mean, they're, like, the worst anti-white male, full-blown communism, hate Christianity, the whole nine. I mean, they're hook, line, and sinker, like, out there the farthest on the spectrum as far as television. That's what I was trying to say.
All right. Well, I'm out here in California. I work on pollution issues and nuclear issues. And NBC... It used to be owned by General Electric, and CBS used to be and may still be owned by Westinghouse.
Right. And, well, NBC, I know, had a connection to Westinghouse. Yeah.
Right. And so yeah. they were always very, you know, not just right-wing, but security state. Those two companies sold weapons. And, you know, if you're talking ultra-leftists, NBC, or, well, both NBC and CBS used to be considered, you know, the daddies of corporate lies. And so it cracks me up to hear you say that they're communists, because that's about as...
Well, look, Microsoft, NBC, that doesn't... I mean, do you pay attention to MSNBC?
I check out some of their shows once in a while, but I actually have a TV, so I'm...
Okay. Well, I mean, I run across a lot of their stuff just through research, and they're like, I mean, if you get into Rachel Maddow and all these O'Donnell and Matthews and a lot of them, it's basically full-blown Marxism is what they push.
No, it isn't. Chris Matthews, I'm trying to think if he was a speechwriter, but he was one time he claimed that, who was it, the guy that couldn't spell potato, the vice president, Dan Quayle. He was claiming Dan Quayle won the debate. I mean, it was like...
Well, yeah, I'm talking now. I'm talking now, not 30 years ago. You got to pay attention to what they're doing now. And this is really magnified since Trump came in. But, I mean, even during Obama's 8 years, these people went full-blown hardcore, I mean, way left.
Well, out here in California, I know, it's hard
to...
Yeah,
you're in California, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, of course.
I'm in San Francisco also, and it's like hard not to know where they stand. It's still, to me, there's no comparison. The comparison is that, you know, people, well-meaning Christians, are still believing a guy who wants to grab women by the pee, right? I mean, this is a guy who laughed about how he could just barge in the dressing room of his beauty pageants and watch the naked girls go scrambling because he owned the show. I mean, how can well-meaning Christians even have looked at Trump in a serious light when he was quoted doing that last summer? So I still take exception to that. But regarding George Bush Sr., Daddy Bush, there are two memos that come out of the JFK assassination that name him specifically.
Yeah, I got them pulled up. Yeah.
Okay, you probably got the J. Edgar Hoover one, and if I remember right, it's the 29th of November of 1963, so it's 1 week after the death, 1 week after the assassination. And J. Edgar Hoover is writing to all of his agents, and he's saying that something hot is going... Basically, Miami is exploding in too much jubilation, and they better calm it down. And he names George Bush Sr. as the station agent down there. And the second memo is written by an FBI agent on the day of the assassination.
Yeah, where Bush called in and made some goofy, like he was nervous about something, and he made this call. Yeah, I got this article, that article pulled up, where basically...
Well, it's James Parrott is a guy named James Parrott that he's trying to rat out.
Let's see here. At 1:45 p.m., Mr. George H.W. Bush, president of the Zapata Offshore Drilling Company, Houston, Texas, blah, 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 telephonically furnished the following information to Ryder by long-distance telephone call from Tyler, Texas. He stated he wanted to be kept confidential but wanted to furnish hearsay that he recalled hearing in recent weeks, the day and source unknown. He stated that one James Parrott had been talking of killing the president when he comes to Houston, blah, 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 yeah.
Yeah,
it's in this article.
Yeah, so it turns out the backstory of that is George Bush was running for the president of the, I think it was the Houston GOP, you know, like the city club, the, you know, Republican Party for the city of Houston. George Bush was running for president of that, and James Parrott was his competition. And so he was trying to ruin Parrott so that he would lose that little election and George would win it. So he was basically ratting out his competition in a local in party election. It's, you know, not even a, so it's he's creepy just in those two things. But the Zapata oil thing, you know, if you think of George Bush as being the station agent in Miami, and when the Bay of Pigs was being put together, Miami was the hotbed of all of the anti-Castro Cubans. You know, those guys had fled from Cuba. They were sitting in wait in Miami, waiting to go re-attack and gain their country back. And George Bush is a station agent down there. So he's in the hotbed of return activity. So his Zapata oil has an island, a drilling platform on an island to the northeast of Cuba. And he was considered the forward working base for the attack on the Bay of Pigs. Now, to show how stupid George Bush was, if you think about the Bay of Pigs attack, and a lot of people don't realize it, but it did fail. Most people know that. But the failure was because they didn't chart the tides right. So they were like 2 hours off, which would show that it was probably charted from Houston instead of Cuba time. And there's at least a two-hour difference. It might even be a three-hour difference. They might be Atlantic time out there. And so they came in when the high tide wasn't full. And it still had 2 more hours of high tide coming in. And so some bonehead, and think of Bush Sr., because he's the one that didn't catch it, if he didn't do it. And so they timed the tidal attack at the where the tide was going to overwhelm them for another 2 hours. And so that the failure of the Bay of Pigs was based upon George Bush's own screw-up, and yet they killed Kennedy for the screw-up.
Yeah, well, I got to get to these articles, but there's many reasons why they killed Kennedy other than all that. You know, I've got just too much to cover concerning the Federal Reserve and all that stuff.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Dulles, firing Dulles and all that stuff. So
right, yeah, Dulles and the police chief of Dallas, the guy in the car right in front of the assassination car, stops and forces the assassination to come to a stop, and then he gets his head blown off. And
well, when you see Secret Service agents holding their ear and running away, basically standing down, you knew this came from way on high. All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, man. No sweat.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible?
Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, we're back. It's an eerie radio. Now, you know, the last caller made the comment of like, okay, I don't know why any kind of Christian could have supported Trump. Well, I mean, look at the alternative. You had a mass murderer, a person with a large body count, her and Bill. And then Trump being an economic nationalist, basically, and having a track record of, you know, people playing the 30-year-old Oprah clips, so forth and so on. People are forgiving in a lot of ways. And so, look, people had a choice to make. And the other members of the field in the GOP were all pretty much soft. Trump made he ran a campaign that threw everybody out a few crumbs, conspiracy theorists, where he talked 9/11, pro-gun, a lot of police, people supporting them, the Border Patrol Union supporting them when they've never supported a candidate. So a lot of weird things were part of the dynamic, and that's why a lot of people supported Trump. Let's take Alan in Texas. How you doing, Alan?
All right, Rob. How are you tonight?
All right, man. What's up? I might have to hold you through the break because we got a couple minutes, but go ahead.
Okay, because my main point was probably better after the break. But the first off, when Jones said, he said that this was, you know, you can find it in the National Archives. Well, you know, that doesn't carry a whole lot of weight with me, you know, because I remember what a guy named Sandy Berger did, and I don't think he was more than likely the first person to ever go in and do that. You know, it could
stuff
be added
stuff
to it, as well as taken away from
it. Let's explain to the audience that can't remember that. That was back in the Clinton. He was Clinton's national security advisor. He's stuffing documents down his pants, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, so, I mean, history, yeah, he changed, one person changed history there. You know, once those of us that lived through it are gone, it won't be in the archives. You know, that won't be truth anymore, will it?
You know, it just shows the lawlessness of a lot of people in the what we call these days the deep state. But go ahead.
Yeah. You know, it's history is what they want us to believe it is. The other thing is, which might give you some information for next week's show, possibly. Why don't you look up something called the Financial Investment Initiative that happened over in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And it is part of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030. It was a meeting of like 2,400 of the world's highest, you know, CEOs and technocrats and bureaucrats and globalist SOBs that were there slapping each other on the back and giving each other medals and stuff. The first, it wasn't 2030 words into this, Rob, before the phrase. It was something on the order of this. Let me see. And he asked this to Christine Lagarde, who was the first person that was interviewed on this little panel. He said something like, what would you like to see happen to bring about the new world order that we're all working towards? I mean, this is like the first 20 or 30 words out of the guy asking the questions of the panel. And Christine Lagarde was the first panelist. And she spoke, and it's all just, platitude crap trap, you know. Then they went on, they had the techies, and, you know, sitting there saying, well, you know, talking about data this, data that, and it's like, well, you know, we know 200% better, you know, than the average person does, you know, what they will do before they do it. You know, we have the ability to correlate and, you know, all this information and information that they were just talking about, you know, how do you keep it, the data safe, the data. And it was just, like I said, just a weird, weird. Look it up.
Yeah. Hold on. Hold through the break. Hold through the break because I want to ask you about the name of this meeting.